Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Hanafi Fiqh class with myself, Abu Musab. The first 2 weeks that we had done of the Hanafi Fiqh classes, we had done from the Kitab Al-Hidayah of Imam Al-Marghinani rahimahullah. Then people didn't have such good things to say about the Kitab due to its technical nature. So we changed from that to Bada'i'us Sana'i of Imam Al-Kasani rahimahullah. And again, we did 2 weeks of that. And so far, the reception to that was better than that of Al-Hidayah. But then somebody else suggested we do a different Kitab, which is Nurul Idah of Imam Ash-Shirun Bulali rahimahullah. This Kitab is a very basic, or rather it's one of the most basic Hanafi Fiqh Kitabs. And this is the reason basically why I did not choose it in the first place, because I wanted to do something more advanced, which can give more knowledge, and more, as you can say, the dalil, the reasoning behind the laws. That was the reason why I chose those two Kitabs in the first place. But in any case, since it was a request, so inshallah tonight we will be doing a class starting from the beginning of Nurul Idah of Imam Ash-Shirun Bulali rahimahullah. And depending on how this class is received, this will decide whether we continue with classes from Nurul Idah or whether we go and we continue back where we stopped off in Bada'i'us Sana'i. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to upload a link to the Kitab itself on Ummah forum. So, unfortunately, you'd have to listen just in unless you have a copy of the Kitab itself. Or alternatively, if you just search Nurul Idah PDF Arabic, inshallah you should be on Google, you should be able to get a download link to the Kitab because it's freely available. So, any case, if you want to, you can follow in that way. But in any case, on that point, we will be starting the Kitab. It's a very short Kitab, like I say. It doesn't deal with anything, really. It's basically just, as you can say, Tahara, purification and Salah. That's all. There's no chapter on marriage and divorce and buying and selling or anything. Nothing of the sort is in this Kitab. This, as you can say, is just the bare minimum. And of course, it is, again, like I say, a very small Kitab. So, inshallah, we can go ahead with this Kitab for tonight and see, depending on how people like the lesson, whether they feel it's too easy or whatever, that will decide whether we continue it next week or whether we change the lesson again. So in any case, moving on to the Kitab, we'll start the lesson itself. We say, Bismillah walhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. This Kitab is written by Imam Hassan ibn Ammar Ash-Shirun Bulali, rahimahullah. And it's, as I said, it's on basic Hanafi fiqh. Just basically Kitab al-Tahara and Kitab al-Salah. Now, the Kitab itself. I'll read from the Kitab, and then because it is so very concise, I'll explain when necessary. Many things are quite clear, so there's no need to, as you can say, explain it. So when necessary only, I will explain it. Otherwise, if it's clear, we will just move on further. So the Kitab starts, Kitab al-Tahara, the chapter of purification. The subchapter is al-Miyah, meaning types of water. So it says, al-Miyah allati yajuzu at-tathhiru biha, the types of water that it is permissible to purify oneself with, meaning in order to clean yourself from, as you can say, impurity, minor impurity, major impurity, everything. There are 7 types of water that one can use. Number one, he says, or rather he says here that, number one, المياه التي يجوز التطهير بها سبعة مياه, that the types of water that you can purify yourself with are 7. Number one, ماء السماء, meaning rain water, literally water from the sky.
which, like I say, is rainwater. Number two, wama'ul bahri, and seawater. Wama'ul nahri, and river water. Wama'ul bi'ri, and water from wells. And it says, wama'ul thalji, and water from melted snow. So when you melt, when snow stands and it begins to melt, or you melt it yourself by bringing it near heat, whatever the case may be, this is all pure water, and you can purify yourself from impurities with it, whether you bath, whether you're taking a ghusl, or whether you are making wudu, both of it will be valid with this water. And then he says, wama'ul baradi, and hail water. And hailstones come down and it melts as well. That too is also pure water. And lastly, he says, wama'ul aini, and spring water. So the seven waters again is rainwater, seawater, river water, well water, melted snow, hail, and spring water. These seven waters are what are considered pure, and it can purify you as well. Now he goes on, he continues, and he says, أقسام المياه, the types of water. Then he says, ثم المياه على خمسة أقسام, that the types of water are broken into five categories. Number one, طاهر مطهر غير مكروه وهو الماء المطلق. Number one, he says, water which is pure, and it is a purifier, and it is not disliked to use this water. And this water here is what is termed al-ma'ul mutlaq, unrestricted, pure, completely pure water. This is, as you could say, the highest type of water. Okay, say the sound is a little bit soft. Let me just up the sound a little bit. Hopefully the sound is a bit better now. So in any case, to repeat that quickly, he said number one was طاهرٌ مطهرٌ غير مكروهٍ وهو الماء المطلق. That water which is pure, and it is a purifier, and it is not disliked to use it, and that is pure, unrestricted, unadulterated water. Okay, this one is easy to understand, so there's no need to get into any detailed discussion on it. Then number two, he says, طاهرٌ مطهرٌ مكروهٌ. The second type of water is water which is pure, and it is a purifier. But he says, it is makruhun, it is disliked to use it. Your wudu and everything will still be valid, but it's disliked. If there's other more clean water to use, ma'ul mutlaq, then that would be preferred to use over this, which is makruh. And this type of water, he says, وَهُوَ مَا شُرِبَتْ مِنْهُ الْهِرَّةُ وَنَحْوِهَا وَكَانَ قَلِيلًا. He says, it is that water where a cat or some other animal similar to it has drank from, because the water is a litter. So, okay, sound is a little distorted. I don't know. Okay. All right, in any case, he says that the second type is makruh. It is disliked to use this water because a cat or some similar animal has drank from it, and it is a little amount of water in this dish where this cat has drank from. And it's a similar creature here, meaning a cat is a pure creature. If it drinks from water, it doesn't dirty the water. Unlike a dog, if a dog were to drink from the water, you would not be able to perform wudu with it. So here he's referring to a pure animal. That's why he mentions a cat in particular, because in fact, there's a hadith on the topic where one Sahabi, he was making wudu, and a cat came, and then he tilted the dish for the cat to drink, and so someone was standing there was like astonished at this. So he said, "Are you astonished at it?" And then he said, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing the same thing." So this is why the cat drinking from water does not dirty it. And this is, of course, when the cat's mouth is clean. If you just saw a cat now eat his dinner and he just ate up a mouse, or and now he's got blood on his teeth and his everything, and now he puts his mouth in the water, now it's a different story, because now the impurities entering into the water. But if the mouth, as far as you can see, the cat is clean and it drinks from the water, then there's no harm. As is here, the water will be makruh to use, but your wudu will be valid. Like I say, dirty creatures like dogs and so on, if they drink from it, it's a totally different story, you can't use it at all. So when it's a nahwi ha,
when he said here, a cat or similar, or things, a cat or things which are, can hear, barely hear you. Okay, testing. 1, 2, 3. We said that when a cat or a similar creature, meaning another similar pure creature, drinks from the water, and there is a little water, then it is makruh, it is disliked for you to make wudu with that water, but if you do, then your wudu will be valid. So that is the second type of water. The third type of water he goes on to, he says, number 3, طاهرٌ غير مطاهر وهو مستعمل لرفع حدث أو لقربة كالوضوء على الوضوء بنيته. Number 3, he says, it is water which is tahir. It is pure, غير مطاهر. It is not a purifier. So the water itself is pure, but it does not have the ability anymore to purify. And he says, this water is that water which has been used to remove impurity, or for some other means of gaining closeness to Allah. And he says, an example of that is a person who has wudu, performing wudu again, with an intention of performing wudu. So just to go over this point here again. The third type of water that he's speaking about is water which in and of its own self it is pure. There's no impurities within the water, but it no longer has the ability to purify you from your minor impurity or major impurity, whichever of the two states you are in. And the reason why this water is like this is وَوَمَا أُسْتُعْمِلَ لِرَفْعِ حَدَثٍ. It has been used already to remove minor impurity, or obviously hadith, which is impure, translated as, whether you call it ritual impurity or minor impurity, I forget what English terms we can use for it. But in any case, basically you go to toilet, you come out, now you perform wudu, and that water that you perform wudu with, it falls into a bowl, and as you can see, the water itself is pure in the bowl, there is no smell, no taste, no color, nothing. So it still looks like pure water. So with this water, you can wash clothing, you can water the plants, and so on and so forth, but you cannot perform wudu again with this water. If you do perform wudu with this water again, it will not be valid. So he says, this is what he says, that it is tahir, it is pure, غير مطهر, not a purifier. So pure without being able to purify. And he says, رفع حدث, either from removing minor impurity from yourself, or from doing a wudu again. Despite having wudu, you make wudu again, and now with the intention of performing wudu. Because what the ulama have explained is that when you have wudu, and you make wudu again with the intention of making wudu, then in this case, the water will become, as what is termed, ma'ul musta'mal, used water, and in that case, you will not be able to purify with it. It will be again, tahir, ghayru mutahir. But if you perform wudu, and then you simply wash your hands like this without the intention of wudu,
place, it will not be termed as used water. It will not be ma'ul musta'mal. So that is why he put this criteria of having an intention that you have wudu, making a second wudu, but you have the intention that you are making wudu, then only in this case will this water become no longer a purifier. Because now the water has been used for a specific purpose, which is to give you wudu, and it has served that purpose, now it is, therefore it becomes ma'ul musta'mal, used water, which no longer can be used for purifying. So in any case, that's basically what he is busy talking about on this point here in particular. Now moving onwards, he says, متى يصير الماء مستعملا? When does water become ma'ul musta'mal? When does it become termed as used water? And as we know, you can't use water, so to purify yourself with. So when does this water become used exactly? So it says, ويصير الماء مستعملا بمجرد انفصاله عن الجسد. Water becomes musta'mal, it becomes used simply when, as you can say, the second it leaves the body. So you turn water off your arm, the minute that drop goes off your arm, it already becomes ma'ul musta'mal. Use water and it cannot be used again to purify yourself with it. That's why I say, as soon as it leaves the body, it becomes ma'ul musta'mal. So you can't wipe your pour water off your arm, catch it in your hand again and then wipe again. It won't be valid that way, because the minute it leaves your skin and it runs down, it's now termed ma'ul musta'mal. Use the water and you can no longer use it for purifying yourself. Continues and he says, مَا لَا يَجُوزُ بِهِ الْوُضُوءُ مِنَ الْمِيَاهِ. This new chapter is those water which you cannot perform wudu with. And he says, وَلَا يَجُوزُ بِمَاءِ الشَّجْرٍ وَثَمَرٍ وَلَا خَرَجُ بِنَفْسِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ عَصْرٍ فِي الْأَوْهَرِ. He says, one particular type of water that you cannot perform wudu with is when, as you would say, the water from a tree, which I suppose you could translate as either the sap or whatever else comes out, whatever liquid comes out of a tree, it's not permissible for you to perform wudu with it. If you perform wudu with it, it will not be valid. And you say, tamari, or any fruit, maybe apples or mangoes or whatever fruit they eat, it may be on the tree, and you squeeze it, and you know, he says, وَلَا خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ. Even if the juice leaves the fruit all on its own without you squeezing it, then it will not be permissible for you to perform wudu with it. And obviously, if you go and you squeeze the grapes or whatever other fruit it may be, in order to get the juice out, and you try and perform wudu with that juice, the wudu will not be valid. That's why he's saying here that any water or rather any liquid which comes out of a tree or comes out of a fruit, whether it comes out on its own or whether you squeeze it out, in all these cases, according to the most evident view, the most apparent view of the madhab, it will not be valid to use any of these things for wudu. So therefore, if you did perform wudu with it, your wudu would be invalid and you would have to re-perform your wudu. Continuing on, he says, number two, وَلَا بِمَاءٍ زَالَ طَبْعُهُ بِالطَّبْخِ أَوْ بِغَلْبَةِ غَيْرِهِ عَلَيْهِ. The next step is water which has lost original form, its essence, its nature has been changed through cooking it, or when it has been overpowered by something else. For example, the cooking one, obviously, you can understand that, and now you cook something, you cook your meat or you cook whatever it is, and now obviously the properties and the, as you say, the substance and nature of the water changes. So because of this, or, in another way, when he says, oh, بِغَلْبَةِ غَيْرِهِ عَلَيْهِ, you put the tea bag into the tea, into the water, or you put some coffee in, whatever the case may be, it changes it now. It becomes overpowered and overwhelmed due to another substance. So it's no longer water, it's now a new substance called tea. or coffee or whatever else it may be. So like this, it's no longer valid for you to perform wudu with it. And like I mentioned, when you spoke about cooking, you put your water in the pot, you cook your rice in it, or you cook your lentils in it, or you cook your dal in it, or whatever, what all and what not you may decide to cook in it, it affects the water, it changes it, so therefore, this changing of the water is what prevents you from being able to perform wudu with it. Okay, then he continues onwards, and he says, those things which overwhelms the water. So he's now explaining what are those things which overwhelms the water, which prevents you from being able to perform wudu with it. So he says, وَالْغَلَبَةُ فِي مُخَالَفَةِ الْجَامِدَاتِ بِإِخْرَاجِ الْمَاءِ عَنْ رِيقَتِهِ وَسَيْلَانِهِ. This is basically the everything in a nutshell. Okay, he continues and he says, وَلَا يَضُرُّ تَغَيُّرِ أَوْصَافِ كُلِّهَا لِجَامِدٍ كَزَعْفَرَانِ وَفَاكِهَةٍ وَوَرَقِ شَجَرٍ. He says, the overwhelmingness of the water
He says this overwhelmingness of the water happens as a result when it loses its it mixes with something which prevents it, or rather which changes its nature, and its nature is to be thin and free flowing. So when something changes water from being free flowing and thin, then in this case it's no longer as you can say, proper water. Okay, he says again, sound is very low and very bad and can't make anything out. So very strange. According to my computer here, it's showing that sound is working full blast. Okay, sound is sounding better, so let's continue on. So in any case, he says, it's such water which has been affected and overwhelmed by some other ingredient, they put it that way, which takes water out from its original nature, and its nature being thin and free-flowing. So when something changes this, then the water is no longer fit to perform wudu wasi. And he says, وَلَا يَدُورُ تَغَيُّرِ أَوْصَافِهِ, and its qualities changing will not affect it if it retains its, as you can say, it still remains in its pure flowing nature by being mixed with something like saffron or fruit or tree leaves, وَرَقُ شَجَرٍ, tree leaves. So if it mixes with any one of these things, and it retains its nature, like I said, its nature is to be thin and free-flowing, and so after being mixed with saffron or whatever the case may be, then despite the fact that the color changes due to the saffron, and the smell will change obviously, and of course the taste will taste too, so that's why I say all its qualities. The water has three qualities, which is color, taste and smell. So he said, despite the fact that all three are basically changing due to this saffron and tree leaves, depending on which tree leaves you are going to be adding to the water, it will of course affect these various things. But saffron is the easiest example because it's easy to understand. We know the yellow color it will make it, and the smell and the taste that it will give it. So we work on this example. So he says, despite the fact that all the qualities of the water, these three qualities, taste, smell and color, all of it is changing, yet despite the fact of all of this, it still remains permissible for you to perform wudu with it.
Okay, so basically that is what he's speaking about there. Continuing on again, he says, وَالْغَلَبَةُ فِي الْمَائِعَاتِ بِالْغُبُورِ وَصْفٍ وَاحِدٍ مِنْ مَائِعٍ لَهُ وَصْفَانِ فَقَطْ كَاللَّبَنِ لَهُ اللَّوْنُ وَالطَّعْمُ وَلَا رَائِحَةَ لَهُ. Okay, here he says that when the overpowering things are, as you can say, it's of the watery, a liquid substance, then by one characteristic of it changing, or yes, or one or two characteristics which are overpowered, then, for example, like he says, like milk, it has a color, the white color, and it has a taste, but according to him, he says, وَلَا رَائِحَةَ لَهُ, but it has no smell. وَلَا رَهُورِ وَصْفَيْنِ مِنْ مَائِعٍ لَهُ ثَلَاثَةٌ كَالْخَلِّ. By two characteristics taking over of the water, the liquid substance basically, then it becomes as you can say, like vinegar.
Okay, hopefully the sound is back again. So in any case, he says here, he's saying here that basically you have things which affect one character, one characteristic. You have things which affect two characteristics, and you have things which affect three characteristics. But you find that there are cases when it will be permissible despite the fact two or three of the characteristics are changing. In the previous example we did about three changing with the saffron water, and yet it was permissible to use. So here he's dealing with two things, and the example he gave was of milk, which has, which at least he mentions here, that it has color and it has taste. And I don't know, but I find milk actually do have a smell, but perhaps what he's referring here to here is not, as you can say, like you can smell mint, for example, it's got a very strong smell, but milk, on the other hand, it don't have a smell that you can smell from a distance. Of course, except if the milk is gone off, but in any case, so milk here in this case is using it as having two characteristics only that it changes, the color and the taste. So, therefore, this is what is called the ghalba, the overwhelming of the water. So, any case, the first, there's two, if you look at this one that we just did now, and the one that we did previously, there seem to be a little bit of a, how do I put it, a bit of contradiction between the two. But there's actually no contradiction. The first one, when we spoke about saffron and fruit and tree leaves and things, this is for solid objects. When a solid object, saffron is a solid object, it's not a liquid. So too is a fruit, and so too are the leaves of tree, like I say, whether you put mint leaves, or whether it's lotus tree leaves, or any other leaves for that matter, you put it in the water, it's solid items, it's not a liquid. So these things changing the qualities, like in the case of saffron, the water would still be valid. But here in this second case, we're now talking about liquid changing, mixing with water. So here he says that when two of the characteristics are overwhelmed, that for the, in the example of milk, he said here that the color and the taste changes. So here two qualities of the water itself is being overwhelmed. And therefore, because of this, it will not be valid for you to be able to perform wudu with it. So just to put it in a nutshell again, that when a liquid mixes with water, then to judge whether it is valid to make wudu with or not, we look at the three qualities of taste, color, and smell. While when solid items, things like the saffron and those things mix with the water, then in that case we look at the nature of the water. We mentioned that the nature of the water is to be thin and free-flowing. So if a solid item, let's take for instance something like this rennet, for example. Okay, it's not meant for water. It's get put in milk, but in any case, in order to turn into cheese. But let's just use it as an example that you have a solid like rennet which you are putting into water, and now it turns the water of a as you can say, towards a jellyish type of nature. So in this case, the default nature of the water has changed from being thin and free flowing. So the in a case like this, this would be impermissible to perform wudu with, because you have added a solid, and the solid has changed the nature of the water. While in this other case here, we are adding a liquid, and the liquid is changing the characteristics of the water. So that's how you distinguish the two, between adding a liquid to the water, or whether you add a solid to the water. Depending on which one it is, you will look for the various signs. Then continuing on here, and then he says, وَالْغَلَبَةُ فِي الْمَائِعِ الَّذِي لَا وَصْفَ لَهُ كَالْمَاءِ الْمُسْتَعْمَلِ وَمَاءُ الْوَرْدِ الْمُنْقَطِعِ رَائِحَةِ تَكُونُ بِالْوَزْنِ فَإِنْ اخْتَلَطَ رِطْلَانِ مِنَ الْمَاءِ الْمُسْتَعْمَلِ بِرِطْلٍ مِنَ الْمُطْلَقِ لَا يَجُوزُ بِهِ الْوُضُوءُ وَبِعَكْسِهِ جَازَ. He says, and when water is overpowered or and overwhelmed by such a liquid or a water which has no changing of qualities. He says, for example, ma'ul musta'amal, used water. You just simply bathed with some water and that water got collected in a basin. So now it's maybe 2 liters of this water here in this basin which has been used. And as far as you can see, the color is the same, the taste is unchanged, and the smell is the same. So the water looks, so to say, brand new. However, it is used water, so you cannot perform wudu with it. So now he says, now you take this and you mix it with a liter of water, of pure water. Then in this case, there is more, as you can say, the غير مطهر, unpurifying water, than the actual 1 liter, which is purifying water. So in a case like this, he says here that more, when there's more used water, then you can perform wudu with it. But the opposite will be valid, meaning that if you have 2 liters of pure water and 1 liter of used water, and two are mixed together, then in that case, you will be able to perform wudu out of that container which has the 3 liters inside of it. Okay, now when it comes to weights and measures and all these various things, the first term we are using here is ritl or ratl, depending on some say ritl, some say ratl. So in any case, now this point, there are a lot of difference of opinions according to the various madhahib and according to the various countries. Baghdad had theirs, Medina had theirs, Kufa had theirs, Basra had theirs. Each place had a different, let's say one said it was 1 liter, one said it was 900 ml, one said it was 1.1 liter. So there was difference of opinion, and the reason for that is because in each one of these countries, as you can, they would have like a container which they would consider, like, as you would say, a ratl. And obviously the containers were not all the same size. So therefore, a Baghdad ratl would be X amount, while the other one would be another amount, and things like that. So in any case, I'll mention just, as you can say, one view, so that you have at least a more or less a bit of an idea of what a ratl is. According to the Baghdad measurement, one ritl is, as you can say, 384.2 grams or so. That is how much one ritl is, according, like I say, to the Baghdad calculation. Other countries would have calculated it differently, but the Baghdad one is 384.2 something. So therefore, okay, like I said, this is just for you to get a bit of an understanding of what a ritl is, because we don't want to use simply a term in the book and you don't know at all what it means. But like I say, you'll find the Hanafi say this, and the Shafi'i say that, and the Maliki said this, and the Hanabila, they say that, all having difference of opinion, because the various, the reason being the various countries that they came from, and the various countries using all of these different things, which they each were terming as a riddle. So in any case, let's just continue on quickly. He says, وَالرَّابِعُ مَاءُ نَجِسٍ وَهُوَ الَّذِي حَلَّتْ فِيهِ نَجَاسَةٌ وَكَانَ رَاكِدًا قَلِيلًا وَالْقَلِيلُ مَا دُونَ عَشْرٍ فِي عَشْرٍ فَيَنْجُسُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَظْهَرْ أَثَرُهَا فِيهِ. He says the fourth type of water which you cannot perform wudu with is مَاءُ نَجِسٍ, dirty, impure water. And he says this is the water wherein impurity had fallen, and this water is, as you would say, still water. So you have a small amount, you have a jug of water or a basin of, a small basin of water, and some impurity has fallen into it, whether it's a bit of blood, whether it's some urine, whether it's some wine, or whether there's a dog that came to roll around in it, whatever the case may be. This is a small amount of still water, and some impurity has fallen in it. And so therefore, this is what is termed as ma'u najis, dirty water, and you cannot perform wudu with it. And he says, وَالْقَلِيلُ مَا دُونَ عَشْرٍ فِي عَشْرٍ. And a, what is considered to be a small quantity, a little amount of water, is what is less than 10 by 10, which is ذِرَاعٍ, as you would say, 10 arm lengths by 10 arm lengths. So if the water is less than this, then this is what is termed a small amount of water. So he says, so this amount of water will become dirty, even if the it was not overpowered by any of its characteristics. So the smell is still the same, the taste is still the same, and the color is still the same. But because of it being a little bit of water, this impurity is falling into it, it will dirty this big amount of water as well, and therefore it will not be valid to perform wudu with it. This is a, this actually leads on to the mas'ala of, إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمَاءُ قُلَّتَيْن لَمْ يَحْمَلِ الْخُبْثَ, that when water reaches قُلَّتَيْن, then it does not become impure and everything, but that I will leave for to be discussed in due time, because the chapter will come inshallah. So in any case, we move on here, and we say, he says, أَوْ جَارِيًا وَظَهَرَ فِيهِ أَثَرُهَا وَالْأَثَرُ طَعْمٌ أَوْ لَوْنٌ أَوْ رِيحٌ. We just did this part that I explained above here. He says that when there is a small quantity of water, he said, which is 10, which you term in English as 10 cubits by 10 cubits, then it will become dirty even if its qualities has not changed. And he says, if it is, this is when the water is still. Like I say, it's still water, you have a basin, whatever the case, maybe a bath filled with water, and this impurity fall in it, therefore it becomes impure. But if the water is flowing, it's running water, and now one of the characteristics changes, then in this case you cannot perform wudu with it. So despite the fact that the water is running, but maybe somebody fell in the water and is bleeding, so the water, either it tastes like blood or you see it red or whatever the case may be, then in this case you may not perform wudu with it. And okay, like I said, this leads on to قُلَّتَيْن, and I will leave that for its own place. And then he says finally, وَالْخَامِسُ مَاءٌ مَشْكُوكٌ فِي طُهُورِيَّتِهِ وَهُوَ مَا شُرِبَ مِنْهُ حِمَارٌ أَوْ بَغْلٌ. The fifth type of water that is not permissible to perform wudu with is doubtful water. And, it is doubtful with regards to it being able to purify. So it is pure, but whether it can actually purify or not, this is where the doubt comes in. And he say, this water is where a donkey or a mule has drank from. And, okay, this also is something which comes quite in depth in the fiqh kitab. So inshallah, it may come on later on. So I won't go too much in detail here. But in any case, the reason for this, it's specific with donkeys and mules. So they are termed as being doubtful creatures. So when they as you can say, lick the things or drink from it, then this law of mashkuk, this doubtfulness, will apply to them. Or rather, it will apply to the water itself. So therefore, because of this doubt, you will not be able to perform wudu with it. So just to go quickly, recap of what are the waters that you cannot make a wudu with. Number one was that water where, number one was water where in its qualities had changed from its, obviously, when its nature being free, thin and free flowing, now some hard solid substance has been added to it, and so now the water has become also thick. This water you cannot perform wudu with. That was number one. Number two is where the water is thin, but it has mixed with another liquid. So whether it's milk or whether it's blood or anything like this, okay, this is dirty, so we're not counting blood. So it mixes with milk or something like this, which changes its taste, its smell, or its color. This is the second type now that you cannot perform wudu with. Number three was when mixed water, used water mixes with clean water. So you have 40% clean water, but 60% which is used water. So this water you cannot perform wudu with. Number four was dirty water, where some impurity has fallen into, and so therefore because of that you cannot use it. And this one was mentioned that when the water is still, then obviously it's a small amount, 10 cubits by 10 cubits. That's considered to be a little. So if the, as you can say, the amount of impurity falls into this water, then therefore it will not be permissible. But if the water is flowing and then one of its qualities change, then only it will not be impermissible. And the qualities, like as I mentioned, is the taste, the color, and the smell. And then the final fifth one was doubtful water, or rather water whose purification ability is doubtful, and this water is such water which has been drank from by a donkey or a mule. Okay, so that chapter, what we just did now, was the chapter on the types of water. That is the end of the chapter of Babul Miyah, the chapter of water. The next chapter, inshallah, will be the chapter fi bayani ahkam as-su'ri, the leftover water of animals and people and so on. This will be dealt with in the next place, I mean the next chapter, but that inshallah we will keep for another time. Like I say, whether we continue with this kitab or not depends on you. If you feel this kitab is too light, too easy, too basic, and you feel no, you want to go back to Tafsir ibn Kathir and so on, then inshallah we can make a plan and we come about and see to doing that. So in any case, that is as far as that goes, and inshallah we will end on this point here for tonight, and we say wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.